I went to Iran a few years ago. Of course, there's lots of struggles. There is persecution. But I vividly remember talking with an Iranian deacon of a church, and he was sharing all these stories. And I was, wow, that's so sad. I'm so sorry. And he said, no. Don't be sad. We're talking about the bride of Christ. We're talking about the church, and the church is victorious.
Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the life of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Join host Todd Nettleton as we hear their inspiring stories and learn how we can help right now on the Voice of the Martyrs radio network.
Welcome again to the Voice of the Martyrs radio. My name is Todd Nettleton. We are in the studio today in Bartlesville, Oklahoma with Giulio Moramusato. He is the executive director of an organization called Comina. We're going to talk about that. He is also working with Operation Mobilization Latin America. Giulio, welcome to Voice of the Martyrs radio.
Thank you so much, Todd. I'm thrilled. I'm excited to be here with you.
Well, we are excited to have you. Why don't you give us first a rundown on what is Comina? What do you do?
Sure. So Comina is a network of church and missionary organizations. So we come together to find ways to collaborate. Our passion and desire is to see the gospel spreading all over the world. And in order to do that, we bring basically two parts, the church and organizations. So we empty our pockets, see what resource we have, and trying to figure out, okay, how can we work together to do more? Because God is worthy.
God is worthy. Amen. So how did you get involved in missions? How did this become a part of your life?
I don't know if you guys noticed, my last name is Moramusato, is Japanese. So when I was 21, I didn't know exactly what to do in life. I was living in Brazil, and I decided to move to Japan. I was already a Christian, a believer, but I was working in Japan, so I used to wake up, have breakfast, go to work, have lunch, work, go back home, take a shower, dinner, watch TV, and go to bed. Tuesday, wake up, breakfast, work, lunch, work, go back home. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all the same. After 2 years, I was laying on my bed, staring at the ceiling and wondering, what in the world I'm doing here? Like, is that all? I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. One day I'll get married, buy a house, have children, have a dog, and wait until death comes or Jesus returns? I said, no way. There must be something that is bigger than my own life. Something that gives reason to keep waking up every day and doing something. And I said, you know what? I'll go back to Brazil and I'll find out what's God's will and mission for my life. And that's when I heard about OM and this ship that goes from port to port preaching the gospel. I said, that's what I want to do. That's it. I joined OM in 1998.
Wow.
While I was doing the training, I applied to join the ship, and the ship was in Australia on that time. But the government of Australia didn't issue me a visa. So OM in Brazil said, don't worry, the ship will go to another port. In 6 months' time, you apply again. But during that time, they invited me to coordinate their training center. Then I moved to personnel. Then I served as the what you call field leader for the work of OM in Brazil. So I spent 15 years working for OM in Brazil. I visited the ship.
You got to sail a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
So then how did you come into this role with Comina, really trying to reach Latin American Christians, not just here in America, but all over North and South America, and say, hey, you need to be involved in missions?
There is a huge population of Latinos in the U.S., about 65 million Latinos living in the United States. It will be the second largest Spanish-speaking country, if it was a country in itself. First
wow.
one, Mexico, 120 million. And then Hispanics in the U.S., 63 million. So lots of potential to mobilize. And we want the Latinos also to be part of what God is doing in Afghanistan, Iran, Tajikistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, so many countries. And there are so many similarities. There's potential. But there is a need for awareness. Many times they are not even aware. They cannot connect the dots. So it's life-giving. It's exciting when they finally understand, it's like, wow, we can be part of that. okay, how can we do this? So that's what Comina does. We present information, training, and opportunities for them to get involved through partner organizations. And that's how we started connecting with Comina in 2014. And with OM, my role is to mobilize Latinos outside Latin America. So the U.S. is one of those places. But if you think about Japan, there are 350,000 Latinos living in Japan, a nation where 0.5% is Christian.
Wow.
It's really a great need. And in other parts of the world as well.
So is your primary goal to talk to like pastors, church leaders, and hope that filters down into the congregation? Or are you trying to go directly to members of the congregation or a little bit of both?
Mm-hmm. So basically pastors and missionary organizations.
Okay.
So we want to bring those two parts together in the same environment and allow them and facilitate a process of collaboration. So through events, we do a conference every year. We do trainings, and we bring those parts together. So I spend a lot of time with pastors, leaders of different denominations, and also with different organizations that can present the opportunities for them to get involved.
Mm-hmm. One of the stats you shared this morning is 500,000 evangelical churches in Latin America, only 6% of them involved in missions. I don't know what the comparative stat is to English-speaking congregations, but 6% seems really low to me, and maybe it's because I'm a missions guy. What are the obstacles? What are the things that are keeping Spanish-speaking congregations from being more involved in mm-hmm. missions?
I think the first obstacle is lack of information, and even not only statistics about countries and needs, starting with theology, starting with understanding our identity in Christ. Of course, I think the basic response when many people follow Christ is seeing Christ as the provider. I'm sick, I'm in financial problems, so I started looking for God. And yes, He's good, yes, He provides, yes, He cares, but it's for so much more than that. So bringing this message to the church is key. It's the starting point. So we say mission doesn't start with people knowing where is Afghanistan, South Sudan. Mission starts with us having an encounter with God. If you think about Isaiah 6, he saw the Lord. He understood he was a sinner. And when he heard the Lord asking, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" He didn't ask, "God, excuse me. What it's all about, how long it will take, how much it's going to cost, if I say yes, where I'm going to live." Like, his immediate response was, "Here I am, send me." So that's the first message we want to bring to the church. You were created for more. And once we understand that, the rest is history. Like, Lord, you are worthy. So we want to bring that aspect of inspiration, information. But then when they say, okay, we got it, but now what? So the partner organizations, they explain, so who are the least reached, unreached, and like, I'm so excited to be here at the Voice of the Martyrs, so they can also understand about the persecuted church, because the persecuted church is basically among unreached mm-hmm. people groups.
Yeah.
So, and those stories are captivating. They display what every Christian should be and do, and we should imitate their lives as they are imitating Christ. So it's such an amazing source of inspiration, and I think that it will help us a lot in our work to mobilize the church.
And I would think that this is particularly important as we talk about reaching into hostile and restricted nations, the place where Christians are persecuted, the place where VOM works. There's a lot of unreached places. They would be much more welcoming of a Venezuelan passport or a Brazilian passport than a American passport. Is that a part of your focus too? Like these missionaries can go places that American missionaries can't go.
Yes. And just to give you an example, I went to Iran a few years ago, and I'm
jealous now.
And surprisingly enough, Brazil has a very good relationship with Iran. And of course, they love soccer. Of course, there's lots of struggles. There is persecution, but I vividly remember talking with an Iranian deacon of a church, and he was sharing all these stories. And I was, wow, that's so sad. I'm so sorry. And he said, no. Don't be sad. We're talking about the bride of Christ. We're talking about the church, and the church is victorious. So we exalt God. We are excited. We are, in a sense, like proud to follow Jesus. I was shocked. Yes, you are right. You are right. That's right. So yes, Brazilians, Latin America, Venezuelans, they would fit very well in Iran. And just one more place that I went was Pakistan. Also, Brazilian soccer. I met so many people wearing the Brazilian jersey. It was great. And I know there's persecution in Iran. But just to tell one story, I was invited to preach on a Sunday morning in a local church. And I was expecting to see people like fearful and trying to hide. They were walking with their Bibles under their arms, like lots of people going to church on Sunday morning. And it was such an encouragement to me. So we needed to hear more of those stories.
Are there some more that you can share with us about what God is doing in hostile and restricted nations? And I really am jealous that you get to go to some of these places.
Yeah. One of the guys that went to Iran, he also could spend some time in Afghanistan. And again, soccer, it's such a tool to...
It's a door opener.
It is. He had great times and great opportunities to share. Of course, one of the things about him, he's not good like studying books. To learn the language, he was struggling a lot, but he is a talker. He cannot spend a day without talking with someone. So he learned the language so super fast. And he started inviting people to his dorm. He was studying in a college in Iran. And he said, we're going to have like an international night. You do your food, I do my food, and we're going to meet together. And he doesn't know how to cook, but he fried some eggs. It's not about the food, it's about the connection. So Latinos in general, we're very like people oriented. Mm-hmm. So it's so easy to build relationships. So Iran are one of those places. I being part of Comiban is a huge network of Latinos. So through Latin America, there are about 30,000 Latino missionaries that are sent out to serve overseas. And they are spread in places like the Middle East, North Africa. One more story from Iraq. A guy from Nicaragua. He is a communication engineer. So he was working in Iraq for 7 years. He found a job. And one day, he was waiting to see if his contract would be renewed. So it was renewed, and he finally asked, God, what am I doing here? Like, every year I need to wait to see if my contract will be renewed. I've been here for 7 years. Like, what do you have for me? He never thought about sharing his faith with people in Iraq. And then he listened to a song, a worship song. The lyric says, if I don't do it, who will do? If I don't share, who will share? So he thought, yeah, I think you brought me for this. So he started learning about how to share faith with Muslims. And he's starting doing that. And I met him in Miami. He was visiting his relatives. And I said, today, my joy is to go to work every morning knowing that there's a line of people waiting for me to arrive and to ask questions about the Bible because they are so hungry to learn. So, yes, God is doing amazing things through Latinos as well.
Amen. We're talking this week on Voice of the Martyrs Radio with Brother Julio. He is the executive director of Comina, mobilizing Latin American missionaries to go throughout the world. Julio, when we think about sending people to Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq, we think about persecution. Mm-hmm. There could be a price to pay for doing that ministry. How do you talk to people that you're sending out to say, hey, there could be a price to be paid, and it's worth it, but we want to prepare ourselves. We want to think about that ahead of time. How do you have that conversation?
Yeah, I think we can have the conversation. We can provide training. We can provide information. We send people like as much as possible, having them ready. But Todd, to be frank, I believe that only if people pass through those situations, they will experience God's grace in ways that we can even train someone. When ISIS took over Mosul and that region, we had Latinos serving that part of the world, and they had to be evacuated, and took some time for them to recover. Even the Brazilians that we sent to Iran, some years ago, there was a lady that was shot dead in Iran, and the Iranians started to go to the streets, and some of their friends were arrested. I don't think there's a way to train them well enough. They are aware, but I can also like remember so many stories that when that happened, God's grace were so present, so real, so tangible, real. And just one more story. There's a couple, not Latinas, they were from Canada. They also went to Iran. And they arrived then there with lots of enthusiasm. They arrived first week saying, we are ready to die for Christ in Iran. And the leader of the work said, what about start living for him here? Like,
before you die for him.
Yeah. And what happened is they ended up hiring a lady to help them with admin work. And her husband was one of the fundamentalists.
Oh, wow.
That found out what they were doing. And this guy, he came and said, you have 20 hours to leave the country, otherwise we're going to kill you. So they had to leave. So it's not an easy thing. But I believe that God is the one that really fills each person with the conviction that, yes, I'm ready. It's not something that we can produce. Mm-hmm. Only God can do this.
Amen. Julio, we have a lot of folks who listen to Voice of the Martyrs Radio that maybe are thinking about a call to missions. Maybe they're not sure. They're on the fence. Maybe God is just starting to knock on their hearts. Talk to them for a minute. Give them some instruction, some advice as they kind of flesh out, okay, what does this look like for me?
Maybe you're fearful, not for yourself, but for your children. I meet many parents that say, oh, my children are saying, I want to serve God in this place, that place. No way. Like, I paid your college. I'm doing this, this, and that. And I met a couple. They have two boys. Their children were like having so many, were going through so many problems. They were not going to church anymore, not following Christ. And they prayed, Lord, we would rather have our children far away from us, but close to you, than to have them close to us and far from you. So they said, Lord, here are our children. Like, we want them to follow you. So don't be afraid. God can take care. Another thing before giving practical instructions, the director of one of OM ships, the Doulos, in 1988 or 89, there was an attack. Like, in the Philippines, someone threw grenades while there was a gathering. The director of the ship was speaking in this gathering. And the pieces of the grenade, I don't know how to call those.
Shrapnel.
Three missionaries were killed.
Oh, wow.
He was preaching, and the flags above and under him got like lots of holes. And I met him in Brazil. He was sharing a conference, and he said, on that day, I understood, while God has a plan in your life, you are immortal. And when we think about Paul, God delivered him so many times. But when the time came for him to go, he went to be with the Lord. So we tried to build walls to make us safe and secure. Our jobs, our family, where we live, the choice we make, we try to build this wall, but this is an illusion. Like, we're not safe anywhere. If God wants you in Israel, in Bangladesh, He will protect you. So the first thing, trust, if God is calling you, He will protect. But then what to do? Well, I would encourage you to find out information about who is working in those places, what organizations that can equip you, that can provide information. Because, yes, one thing is to understand that God is calling. The next thing is to get ready and prepared and have some sort of support to help you while you are there. And then finally, just go, obey. And I will finish this part saying this. I watched a video from Francis Chan, very short, 1 minute and 23 seconds, saying, we Christians, we are very good in memorizing the scriptures. And when we meet Jesus, he's not going to ask, hey, how many Bible verses did you memorize? And he gave an example, said, if I tell my daughter, go and clean your room, And 30 minutes later, she comes back and said, "Dad, I remember what you said. You said, go and clean your room." And I invited friends to study and think what it would look like if I had my room cleaned. And I said, that's what we do with these scriptures. We memorize, we do Bible studies, but we don't obey. So I just want to encourage you, do it. Just do it.
Amen. That is a good word from Brother Julio. He is the executive director of Comina. Julio, as we think about your work and as we think about mobilizing Latin American missionaries, how can we pray? What are some specific ways we can pray?
Yeah, pray for breakthrough in discernment. I really don't think that people need to know a lot about the technicalities of missions. What people desperately need, and I need it myself, is to be fully immersed in God and His presence and His love. I think if we have that, there's no way that people will say, "No, Lord, I'm not going to obey you." I heard the testimony of the Chinese church. They want to go and sacrificially serve, and they are making a lot of mistakes along the way. But when I heard the testimony, I thought, that's so beautiful. Like, even if they don't know a lot, they are saying, "We're not going to wait here. We will go." And it's more or less like, I don't know, Todd, if you have children.
I do.
Hopefully you remember when they were, 3 years old and made like a drawing and said, "Dad, I did it for you." And you probably said, "That looks beautiful." Actually, it was awful. Like, didn't make any sense. But it's not about the beauty of the drawing. It's about the beauty of the offering. So if people are so overwhelmed in a good way of God, if they really understand who God is, I think the natural response will be, "Lord, here I am. I don't know much. I don't have much. Whatever. You are worthy. Here I am." So please pray for this breakthrough, this understanding that God is good. He is enough. When Moses asked, "Who am I?" God didn't bring a list. "Oh, great question. I'm going to tell you who you are." His answer was, "I'm going to be with you. I'm with you." So this breakthrough is one thing. And specifically here, like in the U.S., I know the reality of the Latino church, they are pastors and leaders. They have so many problems to deal with. It is true. It is real. So may God help them see that if we seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, He will add the other things. So sometimes pastors are fearful, "Oh, I'm not going to think about missions because I'm going to lose my people." It's actually the quite opposite. If we get involved, God will bring even more. So yeah, may God bring wisdom, discernment, and I think the rest will follow.
Amen. For our listeners that want to get in touch with Comina, where do they find out more information?
Site, I will spell it. It's maybe weird. It's Comhina, Comina.us. That's our website. Lots of information there. If it's too difficult, Comibam, comibam.org. So Comibam, you see all the offices, all the national offices that we have in Latin America. And Comina will be there under United States.
Okay. And we'll give you links when you come to our website, vomradio.net. Just find the show notes for this episode. We'll give you links to connect with Julio, to connect with Comina. Julio, thank you for your passion for missions. It just comes through the microphone. Thank you for your work, and we pray blessings on you, and look forward to hearing the stories of Latin American missionaries all over the world in the next few years.
Hey, man, thank you, Todd, so much. I'm very glad to have the opportunity to visit a Voice of the Martyrs, and may God continue to bless your ministry as well.
Well, thank you very much. If you're just now joining us, you can hear this entire conversation on our website, vomradio.net. That's also where we'll give you links to connect with Comina, to connect with Brother Julio. Also, I want to encourage you to be back next week as we continue to explore what God is doing around the world, what He's doing particularly in restricted and hostile nations, and maybe what He has for you to do as a part of that process. So I would encourage you, pray about that. and join us again next week right here on the Voice of the Martyrs Radio Network.